Welcome to a What's Up Welland that brings us back to the Welland Museum. But instead of another chat about exhibits showcasing the city's past, we're delving into the available and appealing programs and experiences that inspire STEAM-based learning and so much more for children. Lisa Mooney returns to keep the museum conversation going, so let's get to it. Please join me in welcoming back to What's Up Welland, Lisa Mooney, the Executive Director of the Welland Museum. It was only a couple weeks ago that she was on, but with so much going on at the museum, we couldn't help but have her back in short order. Lisa, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So as you and I talked about before clicking record, this is less of an exhibit episode and more of a educational event. What the museum does beyond the what's on the floor or what's out for people to see, please dive into that. What are those experiences and educational components to the Welland Museum?
Sure. Yeah, I think, like you say, the first thing that people think of when they hear museum, they think exhibits, but we do so much more than just exhibits. So we offer a variety of different programming, some geared to children, some geared to adults. And we have both sort of recreational type programming and also educational programming. Some is scheduled by the museum, and then others are programming that people can contact us to do as well. So we really try to expand what you can do at the museum and incorporate ideas that you want to learn as well at the museum. So we really try to focus on what do you want to get out of your visit and how can we help you with that as well.
So I want to make sure I'm hearing this right. Yes. You are almost then curating someone's museum experience based off of the questions or interests or ideas they have, yes?
Yes, so particularly related to programming. So, for example, we'll do birthday parties. We do birthday parties that have this sort of, it's in the museum, there's a museum field, but you tell us a theme and then we'll come up with whatever experience you want for that. Or with classroom visits is the other thing. So teachers will say, you know, I have a grade 5 class, what will you do? And then I'll say to them, well, what have you felt like you didn't touch in the curriculum? What do you want to experience? We can focus solely on the social science curriculum, or we can do some myriad of all the curriculum if you want, and engage students in whatever you need to have engaged.
So along the classroom experience line, does this mean classes are coming to the Welland Museum, or is the Welland Museum going to classes, or is it a little bit of A, a little bit of B, depending on the needs of that class, that teacher?
Yeah, absolutely. It is both A and B. So currently, I have been going to a lot of schools. It's Heritage Fair season. So Heritage Fair is something that school boards will decide to do and then individual schools will do. But it's on the provincial level. It's also on a national and international level. So students can, they create a project. It's an inquiry-based project. And what it really is that I tell students, your projects should be something you're passionate about. You can find something in your home, talk to your adults. You don't know that bottle of, so maple syrup is the one that I use the most, that maple syrup sounds so innocent to you, but the history behind maple syrup here in Canada is very fascinating, including that the biggest heist in all of Canadian history was about maple syrup, and children get really fascinated by that. So it's an inquiry-based project that you create, pick something you're passionate about, and then it's also includes some presentations. So I've gone to 4 different schools to present on Heritage Fair, and now we will be, myself and some other museum staff will be judges at individual schools, but then also at the DSBN regional fair as well. So it's really exciting to see those opportunities. We can also do other class visits, because transportation can be very difficult to arrange. However, some schools, local schools, will come either by city transit or they'll be in walking distance and they'll come too. And we can do either half-day visits or sort of a full day. A full day will, you know, we'll do some art, we'll do some science, we'll do some history, and really just span a lot of the different curriculum aspects based on that grade level.
Okay, so I'm going to go down the path of, you just said, some art, some history, mm-hmm. some science. If a museum is working with all of those different areas of interest, areas of study, it dovetails into, what are or are there some specific programs that play into each of those components that you can let listeners know about that, hey, we are offering these programs, come check us out. They're not just that on demand from a class, that it's already a built-in, well-established running program for you.
Yeah, so we have some programs outside of the school perspective that we do, where something that we do Monday nights called Messy at the Museum. So Messy at the Museum is STEAM-based, so it's science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics programs. And it's for children 6 to 12, $5 a week, and it's always experiential learning. So they're always doing something themselves, creating something, building something. There's a little learning. We might learn about sculptures, and then they're going to sculpt with some material. We're going to learn about atoms, and then you're going to create a circuit. We're going to learn about botany, and you're going to plant some plants and things like that. So based all on that, they do things, and they really, a lot of it is self-directed as well. So here are some supplies, build a tower, versus follow these very specific instructions, and we end up with all the same piece. One of my favorite activities that we did was they created a picture. I told them to draw an alien. They created a picture, and then they painted it on a plaque. But what they didn't know is I was taking that art and then putting it into an AI machine and changing their art with some AI technology. And then I made those into Christmas ornaments for them at Christmas time. So just, really exciting and dynamic and different type programming.
Is that ever different? Just, I guess, hearing that type of programming, but then that it exists within a museum space is fascinating to hear, because you wouldn't, at least my immediate assumption wouldn't be to equate a museum with something, with AI, with something so progressive and so forward-thinking. And I guess at the end of the day, it drives home that idea that museums are growing and changing and evolving. Along those lines, and just, I guess, that growing path, as you are growing your programming, as you are developing it, what prompts a new program to take root? How do you decide this is a series of programs, or this is a program that we are going to build? How did Messy at the Museum come about, for example?
Yeah, I guess so. Just me previously, or when I joined the museum, we were coming out of COVID, and we had quite a lot of new staff. So whatever programming we may or may not have done, there was no institutional knowledge per se. And myself, I actually am a teacher, and so bringing in that fun experience, hands-on learning, I felt there was just a place for it, and we would be able to do that. So just developing the program that way. I think that my process for the program developing is really just seeing what parents seem to be interested in, what seems to be popular toys, even related to STEAM-based toys and things like that. So, or what are popular children's activities, and developing them on that, and then bringing it into some sort of museum idea. So we have summer camps running this summer. We have 5 camps, and 1 week we're doing Prehistoric Pals. And so this will be on animals and creatures that existed for eons in many, many centuries and millennia. We have a DIY museum, so do-it-yourself museum, where children are different junior curators. They'll learn about, again, sculpting. They'll learn about photography skills. They'll do a bunch of different things. They'll learn how to catalog an artifact. And then at the end, we give them a space to curate. So that's our very first week. So then all summer long, their cubby is an exhibit inside of our museum. We also have junior scientists. So each week or each day, children will be a different scientist. So one day they'll be a doctor, one day they'll be a chemist, and they'll just experiment and do different things that way. We have junior engineers, which is sort of focusing on the canal, which is celebrating its 200th anniversary this year. So building boats, building replica canals, building bridges, all important things that made Welland and the Welland Canal. And then our final camp is called Time Travelers, where each day they're going to explore a different time period. So we'll explore ancient Egypt, we'll explore a Chinese dynasty, ancient Rome, and then our last day we're actually going to venture into the future and what does the future look like, and things like that. So just trying to see, we're trying to ensure that we are providing programming that has a myriad of skills in it that appeals to a variety of children's bases, and that it's somewhat different than where you can find elsewhere.
Okay, as far as this programming goes, what are, for parents listening, for caregivers who are hearing this and thinking, this sounds fantastic, how do I get involved? What are the ages? Let's start there. What are the ages we're talking about? And am I too old to sign up for any of this programming?
No, if you want to be a volunteer, absolutely. But 6 to 12 is our typical ages. And then in fairness, I do have, adults call me and say, do you mind if my five-year-old comes? Especially when they have a sibling that's a little bit older. I have yet to say no. But ideally it's 6 to 12. There's sort of, you can always group a little, an older child with a younger child, or you can, but when they have already come out of kindergarten, there is that little bit understanding of structure a little bit better. So it does work better for 6 to 12 year olds.
And how do parents register for the camps? And is registration open now, or is it something that is coming soon and we can share some date information?
Yeah, it's actually open now. It's live on our website. So you can go to our website. It's wellandmuseum.ca. And then under our events section is where we have our programming. And you can click on any one of the camps to register. And then they can always contact the museum. You can, call me, email me to discuss the programming if you have any questions, or if you want to register via phone as well. So, yeah.
These camps sound fascinating. So in the context of a museum, looking back, how long have these camps existed for, and or just how much have these camps grown and changed? Because again, who would have thought a museum is doing something that is so forward-thinking and so progressive? What did it take to get to this point of, these are the STEAM-based educational experiences that we are offering, and they're only going to get more immersive and more interactive? How did a museum get to this point?
Yeah, so I think that I approached the museum board and said I'd like to start with Messy at the Museum when we saw that there was an uptake in children participating in those activities. We also do PA Day activities as well. And when we saw that there was a clear desire from adults with children in our community to provide these kinds of programming, I said we could also provide summer camp programming. So previously the museum did offer some programming, but more day or hour type programming, not a full camp, which is what we have now. And last year we ran 2 weeks of camp, and so this year both were successful. We did March break camp as well, which was successful, so we're going to try with 5 weeks this year.
That is exciting to hear. It is fascinating to hear because it sounds like a continual work in progress, and that as you are seeing successes, you are going to build on it and be able to offer more. I wish you all the luck with that, because it just sounds like what a fascinating way for kids to spend time learning, but also the socializing, the engagement, the mm-hmm. just, wow. Oh, I love this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so great. So there is that learning, that socialization, but it's all rooted in fun. So that learning is just embedded, and they don't always realize that they're learning when they're walking away. I'm just a big believer in, you know, if you, you know, if I show something, they should be able to also try something, which isn't, you know, always the case, right? And you can get children passionate about science, or you can get children passionate about history at early ages, and they'll want to continue on in those fields. And it starts with making dynamic programming.
Well, Lisa, I thank you for bringing such awareness of what the museum is offering for the little ones, for people who essentially are going to be our future, and getting them engaged, getting them the fun that helps that learning happen. Oh my goodness, this is wonderful. Do you have any parting thoughts as we wind down? Is there anything I didn't think to ask that you could clarify? Any hook for parents?
Yeah, the only thing, I guess, that we do have adult programming as well. On April 13th, we will be having, so monthly we do a series called Insights into Our Past. On April 13th, we're doing the Rise and Fall of Blue Collar Welland, which is, we're highlighting some of the industries that were here, what happened with them, and we're also able to launch a virtual exhibit at the same time with that same title, where you can delve deeper into the history of Welland's blue collar past. And just where is Welland going in the future is sort of how we're ending that one. And then that is something that we do monthly. Sometimes the presenter is me, sometimes the presenter is an outside presenter. We have a local historian presenting in May, on May 4th, about a tourism plan that Welland had that didn't come to fruition. And in June, we have someone from the Métis Council of Niagara who's going to speak on June 15th with a seminar workshop entitled Métis 101, learning about Métis culture and how it exists still today as well. And you know, we plan these series. Sometimes we do them in partnership with the library, but we do try to have just a variety of topics that are local, sometimes a little bit larger in scale, but also that we find really interesting and want the community to know about as well.
So it's not just youth who get to benefit from experiential dynamic learning. It's literally open to all ages. That's wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. And then quite frequently, I visit retirement residents as well, and also give presentations on some fascinating things like maple syrup.
Well, Lisa, thank you for bringing all of this information, all of these stories to this conversation, and I can say I look forward to welcoming you back to a future episode, because there is undoubtedly a lot to keep discussing, to keep learning as to what's happening at our Welland Museum.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Lisa, for coming back and helping to shift focus and awareness to how much more the museum offers beyond commemorating the past. It's great to know there's so much emphasis and thought going into programs that engage the interests of youth. For anyone wanting to know more about these programs, school visits, or museum summer camps, be sure to check out their website. And if you're online, give engagewelland.ca/podcast a visit for our past episodes, leave us a comment, or offer us a suggestion. That's all. So long for this week.